ESPN Studios to another edition of the Spencer Wilson Show. I'm your host, Spencer Wilson, on the board as per usual, Mr. Sean Cloud.
Good afternoon, Reno.
And joining us, as she did last week, Haley the Rockets joining us here.
Hi, everybody.
So a lot to get to. We have a giveaway. We'll do that at the end of the next segment. We also got some things we'll tell you about in terms of like promotions and stuff that you can look forward to. We also, of course, will talk Ryder Cup. Day one of the Ryder Cup is in the books. Baseball season winding down. We got to talk football because there is an absolute air show that took place in Los Angeles last night. And we'll have the voice of the Wolfpack, Mr. John Ramey, joining us over the phone in the next segment. So a lot of good stuff coming at you this show. Let's start with the 1868 FC because they are in the midst of their final kind of stretch of the season. And they had two good results in their last two games. Again, they're in that stretch of three games in 7 days, two games down, one more to go, that coming this Saturday. But last Saturday, they had that first game in this three-game stretch at home against Las Vegas, and they drew. They drew 3-3 after having three leads that they gave up, which is a tough way to draw. But the good news is they got that draw off of two other wins against, or off one other draw and a win against Vegas this year. So they won the Silver State Cup. So that's a good thing. They won the first, I think it was the first ever Silver State Cup, because this was the first year Vegas had a soccer team.
I just want to note the trophy was not silver.
Yes, it was.
Was it? It looked gold.
Uh-oh. No, it's silver. And it even has like silver nuggets on top of it that are inside the cup.
Oh, see, I saw it at night. So silver when they brought it up, it looked gold to me. So
yeah.
I
missed, what was you going missed on. Silver nuggets. How could you?
Yeah, and all of the promotional photos, it's silver.
It looked gold. Just saying.
Maybe under the lights, it could say, look good. I could see that.
And how far away were you? Were you pretty far away from it?
No, I wasn't one of the guys kissing it, that was for sure. It just happened to come up to like my work afterwards, and then all the fans were kissing the trophy. The guy carrying it was kissing the trophy.
That's too many pairs of lips on one thing. I'm starting to get just a little anxious from picturing that. That's too many germs on one trophy.
Yeah, I didn't.
It's not
kiss
good.
It.
Yeah, good.
On.
Good
Here's
for you.
Here's a photo.
Oh, see, it kind of looks. It has to be the lights that was doing it. Then.
Yeah.
Because it's very shiny.
Yes, it's a very nice trophy.
Yeah. Very
it's a
nice.
Good size. It makes you feel really accomplished. I think the bigger the trophy, the better. Hockey, again, got it right with that. Stanley Cup is ginormous.
Yes.
FIFA could learn something, because if you've seen the World Cup trophy, you can fit
little.
It in a lunchbox.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah, man. It's like super. I mean, it's like all completely made out of gold, so it's the most expensive trophy out there, because literally it's all gold. But it's probably maybe like 3-4
It's solid
inches
gold?
Tall. Yeah. It's the most expensive trophy in sports.
Oh, because then it would be pretty malleable, wouldn't it be?
I think it is pretty valuable.
No, malleable.
Oh,
yeah,
I don't know.
Because gold is pretty soft.
Let's try it.
If you like knock it on a
table,
yeah,
you're going to damage
the trophy.
I mean, you don't see anybody like whacking it on a wall, I don't think.
I've honestly never even seen it. So.
Well, look up a picture of it, Sean. But anywho, so the Reno 1868 FC were able to pull. They drew with Las Vegas, so they won it 5-2. It was the final standings in the Silver State Cup. And then two nights ago, Wednesday night, they hosted Rio Grande Valley, and they won that 4-0. So a solid 4 points right now out of these first two games. They have 4 games remaining, I believe. Again, the next game will be at home this Saturday against the Tulsa Roughnecks FC. And they'll go on the road against Portland and Phoenix, and they'll wrap up here at home against Orange County. So reeling in that playoff spot. They're in the playoffs still right now. They're fighting for it. They're doing a great job of closing out their season. 4 games left. We'll see what they can do, but it's looking up for the 1868 right now. Let's talk about PAC sports. Of course, we'll get a little more into football and everything with John Ramey in the next segment. But of course, we'll kind of touch on their game last weekend. Unfortunately, the PAC fell to a record of 2-2 after losing to Toledo in a very high-scoring game. 63-44 was the final. Ganji went 29 of 50 for 320 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. Toa Tawa rushed for 170 yards and ran for 3 scores. And Elijah Cooks was the only PAC receiver to catch a touchdown in that game. The defense had 3 sacks, which is really all you can hang your hat on when you give up 63 points. I mean, you'll hear Ramey kind of make some comments on that, but the road's a tough place to play in any sport, so it's all you can do is kind of hope just to put your best foot forward. But 63 points, I feel like that's going to be kind of a confidence killer to this defense.
Yeah, a little bit, but at the same time, they were going against a different team, you know, I wouldn't even see much of a better team. Maybe they were just in a better heads format, but they definitely didn't show what we've all been talking about Wolfpack football. They didn't show that, you know, ability to kind of take forward.
It was the first game where they kind of seemed off a little bit.
Exactly.
Like, they had a bad half against Vanderbilt, but Oregon State and Portland State, they seemed pretty solid throughout. This was the first game where they looked, and still, they looked shaky and still put up 44 points. So that offense is in stride, but your defense just can't give up 63 points. That's the issue there. We'll get into Air Force, their upcoming opponent, in the next segment after we talk to John Ramey as well. But, of course, other updates here. Men's golf last Tuesday and Wednesday had a very good showing up in Seattle at the Husky Invitational. They finished second out of 12 teams behind host Washington. Two players finishing inside the top 10. Joey Ertz finished second, and Sam Meek finished tied for ninth. I'm sorry, Joey finished tied for second, and Sam Meek finished tied for ninth. Next, the men's golf team this Monday and Tuesday will be in Madera, California for the Nick Watney Invitational. The women's golf team, unfortunately, not as nice of a weekend, finishing 11th out of 18 teams in their competition in Idaho. Two pack golfers finished tied for 29th. Victoria Gailey and Jenny Krause were those players. Next weekend, the women's golf team is off to Denver, Colorado for the Ron Moore Intercollegiate Invitational. Both tennis teams, men and women's tennis, get their season underway this weekend. The men are at the UC Davis Invitational. The women are in Berkeley for the Cal Invitational all throughout this weekend. The cross-country team had a very good showing. We were on the air last week. We told you they were up in Springfield, Oregon. We didn't have any results to give you, but we do now. The team finished second out of five in that competition. Two-pack runners, Lindsay Adams and Hilly Dobbs, both beat the program best. Lindsay Adams, because she was the first to finish, now holds the program best of 20 minutes and 26.33 seconds. Nevada fell to hosts Oregon, who are currently ranked fourth in the country. I talked a little bit last week about the cross-country program up at Oregon. It's one of the things that school is known for athletically, so not a surprise that women's team is ranked fourth right now. The pack put together a second-place performance by having all five of their scoring runners clock in at personal best times. That's pretty incredible. Five of your runners make personal best in a competition. The next stop for the pack is October 13th, and that is the pre-national invitational in Madison, Wisconsin. Soccer had a tough weekend. They fell to Boise State last Friday 1-2, and then lost at Logan, Utah against Utah State 0-1. This puts their team record at 3-5-2. Going into a weekend where they have another twofer. Again, both on the road. This team has a lot of road games to start the year. They're at Air Force today before the football team arrives, and then Sunday at Colorado College before they finally get to return home. Speaking of returning home, the swim and dive team are coming home after their meet last weekend in San Diego State against San Diego State and Washington State. They finished second. They finished second behind San Diego State, but they finished in front of Washington State. Their next competition is tomorrow here in Reno for the pentathlon meet. And finally, the volleyball team, after a hot start in the bit of a skid at the moment, they are in the midst of a five-game losing streak, falling last Saturday in Laramie 3-0, and then losing yesterday at home to Boise State 3-0. They continue conference play at home again tomorrow against Utah State. So be sure to get out there and support them. If you can support volleyball, support swim and dive, they're here at home. And then, of course, tune into the Pack game, which will be broadcasted right here on ESPN Radio.
Woo!
Yeah, you can hear John Ramey on the call. Pre-game starts at noon. Kickoff is at 1. Woo!
It's going to be not that early.
One. That's true. Yes, it's not an early game. I'm very thankful of that. But I'll be up early anyway. but like we said, you can catch the game here. Pre-game starts at noon. Kickoff is at 1. We will have that man, John Ramey, on the phone when we come back. This is the Spencer Wilson Show on ESPN Radio, 94.5 FM. Joining us now on the phone, as he did a couple weeks ago, we're hoping to have him on the broadcast a few times here through the pack season. But the voice of the Wolfpack, John Ramey, joining us again. John, we're getting kind of extra few weeks of summer here. Have you taken advantage of that at all?
I have, in that I'm still riding my motorcycle, which is great for street vibrations this week. But, as long as it's above freezing and it's sunny out, I'm on two wheels.
Are you going to drive that up to Colorado for the Air Force game?
No, that's going to be a little bit too long of a drive. Although, you know, every year when the schedule comes out, I do look and see – you know, where and when we're going places and what I might be able to ride to. But I think we're going to have to delay until baseball season this year.
All right. Well, I think you'll be able to work through that. I think you'll be okay. But let's talk about how
God willing.
Yeah. Let's talk about these first four games of where this kind of where this football team stands. They're 2-2, two home wins, two road losses. What's kind of the biggest positive you've seen from this team from last year, and what's that thing you think they still need to really improve on?
Well, the biggest positive when you compare it to the 2017 season is the fact that they're 2-2 and they were 0-4 at this point a season ago. You look at the two road losses, and they were very competitive at times in both those games. The Vanderbilt score is more one-sided than the game was itself, specifically in the first half. And also the Toledo game, that was in the balance in the third quarter. And Jay Norvell has highlighted that as he has tried to cast light on how additionally competitive his team has been on the road this season. So just two wins when last year you were 0-4, that's a huge deal. And then really the competitiveness has increased substantially, even from the week two loss at Vanderbilt to last week at Toledo. The Pack had that game tied up a couple of times and are really a couple of special teams miscues away from that being a close game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and you've mentioned just now about how competitive they have been on the road and how really all four games they've been a really solid team. So what do you think it is that this team, since they're so competitive on the road, what's that thing that they're just missing to get over that hump and be able to pick up that first win on the road in the Norvell era?
Well, a couple of things. I think Air Force presents a less difficult opponent than either Vanderbilt or Toledo. So that's always one factor. When you win on the road, it's easier to win on the road when the team isn't as good. And Vanderbilt may not be the best team in the SEC, but they are an SEC team. And Toledo doesn't lose in the Class Bowl very often, and they're defending conference champions. The second thing that I think gives the Pack a better shot at winning on the road this week and multiple times this year is the fact that it's the second season of the Jay Norvell era, and the student-athlete leadership on the team is much more significantly present at practice in the games. Coach Norvell talks a lot about the leadership on his team, and there are great seniors. Ty Ganji on the offense, Malik Reed on the defense, two that jump to mind. A lot of much improved player leadership, and those are the kinds of things that you need in place. That's the kind of winning culture infrastructure you need when you have a program that can win on the road and then win consistently on the road.
And you mentioned just now about that team captain type presence, especially now on the offense. They have their guy Ty Ganji at quarterback. This is an offense that right now is averaging about 41 points through their first four games. Going into conference season, how do you see this offense kind of expanding since they're getting into teams that aren't as tough as Vanderbilt, Oregon State? How do you see this offense opening up even more now that they can really kind of be free in conference play?
I think the development will be actually maybe a little counterintuitively. They might get a bit more conservative aesthetically. I don't think they will ever be conservative when it comes to their aggressiveness, but I know that they're very pleased. Specifically, Coach Norvell is extremely pleased in the physical running presence that has emerged with the freshman running back Toa Taua. His ability to run physically in between the tackles, to take the physicality of the game to the opponent, to control the ball, which will be critical against this Air Force team this week. Air Force loves to possess the ball. So if the Pack can play keep away and play physically against the Falcons, that's going to be a huge component in any success they have. But generally speaking, Coach Norvell is super excited to have the physical running game that the Pack never had with any consistency a season ago. And you look what Taua did last week. He had three touchdowns. He had 170 yards rushing. He's among the national leaders in average yards per carry. He's a real phenomenon. And I know that Coach Norvell is excited to give him more of a workload.
And before we kind of went on air here, we were talking to you a little bit over the phone. You said that you were at a production meeting for basketball. We're getting closer and closer to that season starting. You guys are going to get your first look really at this team for this year coming up here in a couple days. What is kind of the feeling around it? What's the expectation that kind of you think everyone's expecting from this team with their returners and the new talent coming in and seeing as how they made it to the Sweet 16 last year?
Yeah, we're in a production meeting for the telecast of Pro Day. This is a new event. It's the inaugural Pro Day. The Pack have invited dozens of NBA scouts to come watch the team work out Thursday. It'll air on NevadaWolfpack.com and on Stadium live streaming on the internet from 3 to 4:30, and then it will appear multiple times on Nevada Sports Net later on Thursday evening, then again throughout the weekend. A lot of scouts are in to look at, of course, the Martin twins and Jordan Caroline, but the Pack really feel like even deeper in their roster, there are guys that have real professional talent and real professional prospects. So it's an exciting time for the student athletes to display what they can do in front of guys that could potentially give them a job someday. When it comes to the expectations of the team, I know that they're very concerned about their internal expectations. They don't really worry much about the external expectations. That's what people like you and I help to create. I know that making the Sweet 16 is an incredibly high bar to match, no matter how talented a team is, especially given the nature of the single elimination championship tournament in the basketball postseason with the NCAAs. It's going to be a great team. I think anything short of a conference championship would be a disappointment. It is hard to start saying, well, Elite Eight or bust, because, again, the tournament is so wild and crazy things happen, and the Pack did get a few breaks last year. So it's hard to say what the expectation is for the postseason. But with regard to the Mountain West, I think they expect to repeat as champions for another year.
And men's basketball, not the only basketball program right now in Nevada, making some noise. News coming out a couple days ago that Amanda Levins got signed to a new five-year deal that'll keep her there through the 2022 to 2023 season. Just seeing what she's already done in her first few seasons through that window now that she's got all the way to 2022 and 2023, what do you think the impact, the overall impact that she is going to make on this program will be?
Well, first of all, stability is really good. Stability in athletics matters. Then you throw in stability with very competent people, then you're really cooking with gas. One thing I talked to Doug Knuth about is, look, it takes a long time to turn around a battleship. It takes a long time to get all the people in all the correct places and get them signed up for long term so that you can have the kind of athletics department, you can have the individual programs that match the vision and match the mission of the University of Nevada Athletics. And I know folks like Amanda Levins, folks like Jay Norvell, folks like Eric Musselman are the key people in the key positions. And so signing her up for multiple years is critical. It helps with recruiting. You know, recruits aren't silly and their parents are not, you know, new. They ask, well, okay, coach, you're recruiting me. How long are you going to be there? Things of this nature. So the fact that Coach Levins has a multi-year deal just really adds that stability. It's a huge positive for the program and for the whole athletics department.
There's a lot of positive around football, around basketball, really around this whole university's athletic programs in general right now. So we're very excited. I think everyone's excited to see where football season goes, where basketball season goes. But, John, thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate it. We know that we'll enjoy watching it and we'll enjoy hearing you call it.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you having me on.
Big thank you again to John Ramey for joining us on the phone as he gets ready for his Air Force broadcast up in Colorado Springs. And it's always an interesting game against the Air Force. First off, Colorado Springs and this stadium that they play in is a very tough place to play. Any kind of military base, I mean, Army's a tough place to play, Navy's a tough place to play, Air Force is a tough place to play. It's just that military environment not very welcoming to people that want to come in and beat their team. So they're 1-2 right now. Air Force is an 0-1 in conference, but don't let that fool you, because the offense that they run, that option offense, is a very tough offense to stop, especially with what we've saw in their defense last week, having issues with Toledo. Again, another tough road game against an opponent with a unique offensive style. And really, it's going to be stopping the run game, because with that option offense, you want to dare that quarterback to sit back and throw. Their main guy, Isaiah Saunders, has thrown 30 passes all season so far.
Wow.
His season stats are 17 of 30 for 289 yards and one touchdown with an interception. That's three games in, he's thrown 30 passes. That's an average of 10 a game. Ganji threw 50 attempts against Toledo alone.
Wow.
So you can see how much running is a part of these guys' offense. Cole Fagan is the leading rusher on the team. He's got 209 yards and two touchdowns. Isaiah Saunders also has two TDs on the ground. So it's going to come down to running defense. How well can you clog up those gaps? How well can you make them go side to side instead of north and south? And you got to make this quarterback sit back and beat you through the air and hope that your DBs can make plays and make these guys pay for not being able to run it. That's pretty much all you can do. Some more fun news, though, coming out of Nevada. You kind of heard myself and John talk about it there. Amanda Levins got a five-year extension for the women's basketball program. I mean, she'll be there from 2022 to 2023. And you heard John say it. The biggest thing that's going to help is recruiting, because now you know she's going to be there. And I think that turns the basketball program as a whole up another notch. What Musselman's been doing on the men's side, what he continues to do, and now he has the team that he does, which is going to be a national threat. That team, the Nevada Wolfpack men's basketball team, is not a joking national contender. They are for real, they are legit, and they're coming for that NCAA tournament championship. And it's not outlandish to think they could possibly get it, or at least make it to the Final Four.
They're definitely going. That's all we know. They're definitely going to go. We don't know how far they'll go, but they'll definitely go. Top four? You think top four?
I think they could make the Final Four. I think if everyone stays healthy and you have the right kind, I mean, Musselman's going to have that team whipped into shape and ready to go. And so if they can keep everybody healthy for a majority of the season, at least towards the tail end of it, as you go into conference play and your conference tournament, I think so. I think this team, they ran into a team that you get every year in the tournament, that Cinderella team with Chicago or Loyola Chicago. But I don't think that, I think you kind of get caught off guard with that, and Musselman's going to learn lessons from that loss. So if he finds himself in that team in that same position where they're going up against kind of a Cinderella story team again, I don't think they're going to have as big of an issue with it. I just think that team is talented top to bottom, because you have to think that Musselman was kind of in, or at least I believe he was in the mindset of moving on past the Martin twins. Mm-hmm. Once they kind of went to the NBA, the combine, and they're getting ready for the draft, I think he started thinking, okay, how do we build this team now without them? And then to get the news that they're coming back, he has a team he could have relied on without the Martin twins. Now you just add both of those big, tough players back into the mix. I think they got a really great opportunity.
Yeah. Lindsey Drew's healthy.
Yep.
He's my favorite player. I don't know why. I think it's his name, Lindsey Drew. I don't know, but every time I just watch him play, I'm like, yep, that's my boy. I like him.
And then Amanda Levin's obviously 2 years so far at the job, and all she's done is improve this program. And they made WBI, I think it was the tournament they made last season, which is a start. It's not the NCAA tournament, but it's a start, and that's all you need to see, and that's what the AD at Nevada needed to see when giving her this contract extension. I believe it's a record contract for the women's basketball coaching position in Nevada. So hats off to Amanda Levin. She's earned it. She's given them absolutely no reason to doubt that it was the right move, because like we've said, two seasons and all she's done is help this team win more games, which is an important thing to do in sports, believe it or not.
Winning?
Yeah.
Winning matters. Winning?
Yeah, winning. Winning is a pretty big deal. Speaking of winning, a lot of teams winning right now in the NFL, and we're going to get to that after the break and after Sean announces our giveaway. Sean, what are we giving to the people?
We have a pair of tickets to go see Deep Purple and Judas Priest at the Toyota Amphitheater.
What?
This Sunday, September 30th. So you have to pick up the tickets today by 5:30 p.m. That's it. That's literally what we're giving away.
So caller 9 at 775-333-0945 gets those tickets. NFL talk after the break. This is the Spencer Wilson Show on ESPN Radio 94.5 FM. Welcome back to the broadcast. We gave away the tickets, but don't forget we do have Hail Mary Money still going on Monday through Friday. You can play this. It's not that difficult to play, ladies and gentlemen. All you got to do is listen to ESPN Radio 94.5 FM, the channel you're listening to at this very second. And you got to listen to that channel 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday. If you were listening, you had just heard this hour's keyword. I think I'm not going to say it, I didn't hear it properly, so I'm not going to tell you. March. Thank you, Haley. If you text that word, March, to 67760, you could have a chance to win $1,000. Imagine that. You text one word and you get $1,000. That's pretty awesome. So don't forget to take part in that. That is still going on. You know what's not still going on, though, is the game from last night. That is over. That is over.
But what a game that
but
was.
But what a game. If you missed it, the Rams beat the Vikings 38-31 in an absolute air show. Jared Goff threw for 465 yards and had 5 TDs, which is flat out ridiculous. He threw for every touchdown that they had. They had 5 touchdowns on the game. He threw for every one of them.
Yep.
That's pretty awesome.
They were
a
beautiful touchdowns.
Yeah, they were. They were. I mean, he would literally. There could have been 2 guys around his defender, but he would find that one just inch of arc and space to get it into his receiver's hands. It was incredible.
And this was the Jared Goff that we've all been waiting for, too. We've been waiting years for this to happen, and he's finally himself.
I mean, he was playing well last year, but his first four games this year are at a different level.
Exactly.
Right now, I mean, I would have to say that the Rams and the Chiefs are what I would kind of looking like Super Bowl favorites right now.
Yeah,
100%. I mean, the way Mahomes is playing, he's a second-year player, but man, that kid's playing really, really well right now.
He broke records in the first 2 weeks. Most touchdown throws by a rookie quarterback ever.
Well, for the first 2 weeks and then again through the first three weeks.
Right, exactly.
I think what was Manning's record, like 10 or 11, and Mahomes has 13 through the first 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So he's playing fantastic right now, and it's a young quarterback's type of year, it seems, because all four quarterbacks that were drafted in the top 10 are now going to start this coming Sunday. So let's kind of talk about this. So we're talking about, of course, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, and Baker Mayfield. Those are the four quarterbacks we're talking about. So let's just kind of run through who's playing what. Let's start with Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. They are on the road against the Green Bay Packers. Now, I said at the beginning of when we all got into this room, there's no way Josh Allen's winning that game on the road in Green Bay. You made a good point, though, Sean. I think you would have said that probably last week, too, about Buffalo going into Minnesota.
That's exactly what I said to him going into Minnesota. I was like, there's no way they're winning this game at all. And what do you know? Minnesota just made me cry on
this. Oh, and Josh Allen, what does he do? He just hurdles a defender. NBD, guys, just hurdling defenders is Josh Allen.
Yeah, he was hurdling one of the best defenders of the entire league, too. No, the whole game, that was just... Hopefully it was a fluke, maybe not, but we'll really find out at this Green Bay game. And it really all depends on if Rodgers is 100% healthy. You know, if he's not, you'll see it. And we saw it last week, so.
It's very true. And I feel like, as well with the Packers, at home it's a different animal.
Yeah.
Like Rodgers stumbling. If this game was happening in Buffalo, I would say there's probably a 60-40 chance Buffalo wins that game by a squeaker. They get it at the very end. But in Lambeau, if Rodgers is playing, I don't even care if he's playing on half a leg.
I mean, if the he's spreads in Lambeau, are at 95% on Green Bay.
95% of people picking. Yeah, well, I think that same amount of people picked Minnesota last week. I mean, every single expert on the pregame show had Minnesota, and every single one of them got it wrong. But that's just kind of the environment around football right now. I mean, last year and this year, it's just been like a who's who of what's going to happen each week.
Right.
So that's where Josh Allen is. Now let's focus on Sam Darnold. He's leading a Jets. So this is a kid that had a very good week one. He had a solid week one, and everyone was kind of singing the praises that the Jets have found their guy. He's now lost two in a row. And he's going on the road, like Allen is, to a very tough defensive place, and that's Jacksonville. A Jaguars team that's 2-1, and that just, their offense has proven they can do some things. Obviously, look at that game against New England when Bortles was just slinging it around the field like he would won a Super Bowl or something like that. But again, this is a team that we've all kind of said is depending on their defense, and Darnold just doesn't, I mean, he just looks uncomfortable these last two games.
Yeah, well, last week, Jacksonville even looked a little bit uncomfortable, too. You know, it's a 9-6 loss, no touchdowns, all field goals, very hard loss to accept in general. But then again, I had to think about, you know, coming off of a win off of New England, you're just like, I don't even care about the rest of the time. As long as I beat New England, I don't even care. But it really does depend, and we'll see. They're at home. Hopefully they can come back from that loss. The Jets, I don't see winning, but then again, odder things have happened this year, so.
Look at the other Josh Rosen. He is the only one of those four quarterbacks that is playing at home this week, and their home game is against Seattle. And honestly, I think Rosen could lead this team to a victory. I think they kind of did him a little wrong last week, putting him in there with like 2 minutes to go, hoping they can get some kind of game-winning drive. Mm-hmm. I think that's a little preposterous. Like, they gave Mayfield a whole half to work. You're going to stick Rosen in the last 2 minutes. I mean, what good is that really going to do? Maybe he pulls off some weird, spectacular comeback, but what good is that really going to do him to go, hey, we've pretty much already lost this game because our offense can't move the ball at all, but why don't you go out there and just try to make something happen? It just kind of seems ridiculous. Like, why not just wait till this week and go, we're 0-3, which we were going to be anyways, and now we're going to have Rosen start. Now I feel like he's just kind of on an odd foot going into this game.
Yeah, because he has a loss under his record, so. Yeah, that was just dumb by them.
And then there's Mayfield.
Yeah.
And there's Mayfield. There's Baker, who is on the road against the Oakland Raiders. The Mad Hatter is going to try and slow down the boy from Oklahoma. Gruden, I don't even know what to think about the Raiders right now. They've had three leads in all three games, and they're 0-3.
They're awful. I mean, and every time I say it every week. All you have is Gruden smiling on the thing like, I already got my check. I don't even care.
I think what's so great is every game he talks about how his defense needs to get more pressure on the QB. Like, dude, you traded away your pressure.
Yeah, right.
Your pressure is in Chicago right now, tearing it up for the Bears. So I think Mayfield's going to win. Honestly, the only quarterback that I think might not win, like, under any circumstance, again, is Josh Allen. I think Sam Darnold could, again, show his week one self and pull something off against Jacksonville, especially if that offense struggles and can't put up as many points as they did against New England. Because the other two games, it's been, what, like 15, 20 points they've won that game with.
Right.
So if Jets can outscore them, I would think that, you know, they'd be able to take that win in Jacksonville. I just don't know if Allen will be able to take a decent team and lead him into a place like Lambeau and get that kind of a victory. I think it's going
to
be tough.
Now, if they do, we need to start looking at the Buffalo Bills a little bit differently here.
What is going on in the AFC East?
I have no idea.
What's Scotty feeling like that his Patriots are, what are they, 1-2 right now? 2-1?
1-2.
He was miserable against the Lions.
I don't even know if I can remember the last time the Patriots had a losing record with Brady as the starter.
Last year.
When?
Like at the beginning of the season,
They
were also doing really bad.
Yeah, and then they came back and won.
Yeah.
And
I don't remember that.
A lot of times they'll start off with like a really bad record and everything, and then they'll turn it right back around.
But he was pretty miserable during the Detroit game.
Yeah. We didn't even put it on the full TV. He just had it on his laptop. And then we ended up just like closing it down and cleaning because he didn't want to watch it anymore.
I smiled so big through that whole entire game.
You and Matt Patricia both smiled through that whole big game.
Yes, we did.
I mean, you think about Belichick's record against his former coaches, and he just like Saban too. Nick Saban destroys his former assistant coaches that are now head coaching. And Belichick's done that too. And then Matt Patricia, you just had to think was over there, like, you know, twirling his mustache, like, ha, Belichick.
It's Matt Patricia, and he and Belichick always had, like, this tight way of running their team, right?
Yeah.
So he wasn't, like, a normal coach, in my opinion, going off to get a head coaching job. He got this job, and he knew that he was going against New England, and he knew, he was just like, you know what? It doesn't matter. If we win this one game, everything else to me doesn't matter. It's the same kind of concept with almost anything else. But he won that game, and I feel like that's going to give him enough momentum going into this week to actually do some damage, you know, and go. But this is, you know, Detroit, Jacksonville beat them. You know, those are two teams you shouldn't have lost to, in a sense. Jacksonville, maybe.
I was going to say, those are the last two teams standing in the AFC last year.
Yeah, but, like, Detroit with a new coach, his old predecessor, you know, it all just, I'm just happy. As long as he doesn't have to get hurt, as long as they just get punished every game and get taught a lesson, I'm fine with that.
Wow.
All right, well,
there should just be a show on just like bashing New England. I'd be fine with that.
I think it's just every show that happens outside the Boston city limits does that.
Right.
I think that happens everywhere. But let's talk about, because there's no real quarterback controversy there, but there is a quarterback controversy in Tampa Bay. Do you stick with Fitzmagic? Or do you go back to Winston now that he's off his suspension? You're on the road at Chicago. What do you do?
Do you have any thoughts, Haley?
What do you do?
I don't.
Okay.
What do you do?
I think you stick with Fitzmagic for one more game. And if he doesn't pull through, then you go back to Winston. But you got to make it like, you know,
he's got to have a first of, like, kickoff to the final whistle bad game.
Exactly.
Like, if he struggles in the first half and then comes back and did what he did against Pittsburgh on Monday night, I say you still give him a chance next week in week five. Like, he's got to have a full first to fourth quarter bad, bad game for them to go back to Jameis Winston.
Right. Or get hurt.
Or get hurt, which he very well could with Khalil Mack breathing down his neck. He's just a scary individual,
scary
man.
Scary dude, man.
He's just fast. He's powerful. He doesn't care about your feelings. Like, it's just, like, it's scary.
Go and watch a play of him in slow motion and try to find one where you're, like, right in there with the camera and everything.
Just
and
mean him, mugging people, man.
Yeah, like, he's scary.
But I feel like that is a bear linebacker, though. Like, you think about some of the like Urlacher, of course, was the first big linebacker that I grew up watching when I was a fan of the NFL when he was in Chicago. But you go, like, through the lineage of that team, and Urlacher mentioned it in his Hall of Fame speech. Just, I mean, there's a slew of Hall of Fame legendary middle linebackers that have played for this team. And I feel like Khalil Mack fits that design, that build. And they've been a pretty fun team to watch. It's interesting because people are already kind of calling for Trubisky's head a little bit in Chicago. They lost that game. They're already kind of like, is he really our guy? Like, is he really going to keep up with all these different people? Because I think they're looking at guys like Mahomes.
Right.
They're looking at guys like Cousins. They're looking at guys like Goff. I think these are guys that are younger, or not younger, but about as young, and they're really outperforming them.
They really are, though. He's so, really like, not doing much.
If you're Chicago, again, you're in one of those sports cities that really scrutinize, like New York, L.A., how do you keep a young guy from getting too beaten down? I mean, he's 2-1 right now. They have a winning record in what could be a very tough division with Green Bay, Detroit, Minnesota. I mean, that right there is not an easy schedule when you have Rodgers and you have Cousins in Minnesota. Although they've lost 2 in a row, they're still playing very well. I mean, coming off a short week where you get annihilated at home by Buffalo, then they go on the road in L.A. and only lose by a touchdown against a team that arguably is the best in the NFL right now. It's not great to lose 2 in a row, but you can at least keep your head up high knowing that you went in there after a loss that you shouldn't have lost, or a game you shouldn't have lost, and at least be competitive.
You know, I don't think that Trubisky is that bad of a quarterback, to be honest. He leads the team well. You're saying it. They're 2-1. Their defense looks promising with Khalil Mack. And everything's going well, right?
Yes.
So why are we tearing off this kid's head? There's no point.
Exactly.
It's all just drama to bring drama. It's like, you know, all these different things. Is this guy going to retire? Is this going to retire? Dude, he's doing well. He's 2-1. Talk to me when they're like 2-7, okay?
Yeah.
When they're 2-7, then there's time to a little bit to worry. They're 2-1. Going into the fourth week here.
It's crazy to think how much has changed in that amount of time.
Yeah.
Like, look about how everyone was feeling in week 1, and now look 2 games later where we are.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
Like, I may hate New England, but I haven't given up on them. I could see
going back
to the Super Bowl this year. Easily.
I don't think Miami will be unbeaten anymore by the time Sunday comes to an end, because I believe that game is in Foxborough that Miami is playing New England, and I don't care how shaky New England looks on the road. Don't ever think you're going to waltz into Foxborough and take a win away from Brady and Belichick, because you most likely will not.
Unless we see another game where Brady and Belichick are not making eye contact or anything.
That's true.
Did you hear?
There has been a lot of issues with Brady and stuff about his trainer. He walked out of another radio show.
Yeah.
I think the same one, right?
Yeah.
The same one. I mean, like, how many times is Brady going to let these guys make him mad?
I don't know.
Just stop going on the show anymore.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how that all fixes itself up. But of course, we're 3 weeks in a game in. We still have 3/4 of the season left to go. So let's all just enjoy how it unravels.
Right, exactly.
But something that is not going to be around as long, we'll give you a Ryder Cup update with day 1 in the books. We'll talk about the baseball season coming to an end, NHL season getting ready to start, and HBO making a change to their sporting landscape. That all coming up on the Spencer Wilson Show on ESPN Radio, 94.5 FM. Oh, gotta take that out. Welcome back to the program, talking about Ryder Cup, because day 1 is in the books, and it was a really, really good start for the USA. So, quick overview here if you don't know how the Ryder Cup works, real quick. It's a 3-day event, Friday to Sunday. Friday and Saturday are run the same way. You have a morning session with what's called 4-balls, and that's a foursome 4-ball. So basically what that means is, let's say myself and Haley are on a team, Sean and David are on a team. So we're each going to play our own ball, hence where the name 4-ball comes from. We each have our own ball out there. What happens is we each play the hole, and if I have a better score than Haley, we'll use my score. And basically you go through it, and whichever team has the lowest combined score wins that round. Then in the afternoon, you have what's called Friday foursomes, which is played alternate shot. So again, me and Haley are on a team, Sean and David are on a team. So let's say odd holes, I tee off, even holes, Haley tees off, and then we alternate shots back and forth playing one ball between the two of us. And the team with the lowest score again at the end wins that round. So the morning today went really well for the U.S. They won 3 out of 4 matchups.
Wow.
The only one that didn't win was Patrick Reed and Tiger Woods. They fell to Francesco Molinari and Tommy Fleetwood.
It had to be Tiger Woods, didn't it?
Yeah, and he played and worse than Patrick Reed, too, in that four ball, man. He
and
just
he
did
just
not play well.
He won his first professional
He won the Tour Championship event.
Yeah.
Yeah, so people were all kind of expecting this big thing, and the first day in the morning, he had the worst performance. And then what happened Friday afternoon? So U.S. has a 3-1 lead after the Friday morning session. Friday afternoon, not so nice to the U.S. Europe swept all four matches. I mean, I think basically none of the four matches made it to the 17th hole. So wow. By 16 holes, Europe had a big enough lead where the U.S. couldn't win any of the matches. So currently, the Europe leads 5-3 over the USA. Tough way to end the first day. Europe is going to need 14 and a half total points to win the cut back. The U.S. needs 14 points flat out to retain the Ryder Cup. So hopefully, now again, going into Saturday, pairings usually change. So hopefully the U.S. can, well, I mean, they don't really need to change anything for the morning session. You won three matches there. But you're going to have to get your alternate shot in the afternoon a lot better for Saturday, setting yourself up for Sunday. And Sunday is the 12, it's just 12 different singles matches. So one-on-one, because you have 12 men a team, four men don't play per morning and afternoon session Friday and Saturday. So Sunday, it's 12 one-on-one matches, which is flat out the best day of golf. I don't want to hear anything about majors. I don't want to hear anything about Jack, nothing. Sunday of the Ryder Cup is the best day of golf. And I will fight you on that.
Wow, okay.
I'm not a good fighter, but I'll fight you anyway.
Have you ever seen golf in 3D?
No.
You should.
What?
You've never heard of that?
No.
Is that a movie?
Is that like a VR thing?
No, it's when they released the 3D TVs. Oh. ESPN was like, oh, we need to get some sports in 3D. So they did tennis, golf, and volleyball.
Oh, dang.
Tennis was pretty intense. I thought I was going to get hit with the ball a few times. But golf was great because you could actually, you got a feel of how the fairways were built and everything.
Very
so cool.
All right.
I don't know why I brought that up, but I think you would enjoy it.
I enjoy most things sports, so it's smart to bring that up. So let's talk about baseball now. Baseball coming down. The regular season is scheduled to end this Sunday. Now, I say scheduled to end because depending on how the season ends up, we could be in one of the most, I mean, I want to say weird, but it's also awesome. So basically, the American League is set. Boston, New York Yankees, Cleveland, Houston, and Oakland are your five playoff teams. The National League, not so set. So the Chicago Cubs and the Milwaukee Brewers are in. They have not, neither have clinched the division yet. So both teams are still fighting for that division. The winner of that division will have the number one seed in the National League. The Atlanta Braves have clinched the East. They will have to have a better record than the Dodgers or the Rockies, whoever wins the NL West, if Atlanta wants to have the second seed. Now, here's where it gets kind of crazy. If the Rockies and the Dodgers tie for the National League West title, there will be a tiebreaker game Monday at Dodger Stadium. But if the Rockies, Dodgers, and Cardinals all end up tied, then the Rockies and Dodgers would play for the National League West title to see who would win the division on Monday. The loser of that game would then turn right around and play St. Louis on Tuesday for the second wild card spot. Wowza. That's a lot to going on. But basically, all that's set in stone right now, Atlanta's won their East Division. Mm. The rest of the National League, up for grabs between basically Chicago, Milwaukee, the Dodgers, Colorado, and St. Louis. So it's going to be a mad scramble these last 3 days, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be fun. You said Scotty's picking the Red Sox to make it to the World Series and lose to who?
The Brewers.
The Brewers.
In five.
Yeah, he almost wants to put money on it. He's so confident that they
so
are
that
going to lose.
That's smart, though, because that means Milwaukee would win at home. Because game 3, 4, and 5 would be in Milwaukee, whereas Boston would have 1, 2, 6, and 7 if necessary. So that's smart. Okay.
Yeah.
So he thinks Boston will lose to Milwaukee in five.
It's all just because right. every other...
Yeah, if he's wrong, we're going to lambast him week in and week out until next baseball season starts.
I think he would be so happy for the Red Sox to win because the whole reason that he thinks this is every other team that he loves this year has gone to the final and lost to a team that has never won it. The Patriots lost to the Eagles and the Knights lost to the Capitals.
Wow.
Yeah.
Speaking of hockey, when we come on the air next Friday, the NHL season will be 2 days old. Wednesday, October 3rd, the puck drops for the 18-19 season. It'll start with a doubleheader as the Washington Capitals will hoist their championship banner. I forget who they're playing. It's not that important. All you got to know is that they're raising their championship banner because the important game comes after that as the Sharks open up their season against the Ducks.
I disagree. I think the important game comes October 4th.
You're wrong.
When the
Knights play. Either way.
When's the end of the season?
Sometime in April.
That's my favorite day.
Come on, Sean.
I'm just kidding.
Come on, man.
It's going to be a great season, right?
I'm looking forward to it. I've enjoyed hockey more and more the last few seasons. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And then last but not least, HBO has announced at the end of this calendar year, they are dropping their boxing coverage. HBO will be done with their own. They might do some stories on boxing in general, but their broadcasting of it is done. The reasons they cited that it was exciting to kind of start the whole trend, but it's the trend of broadcasting boxing on pay-per-view, but it's just not that unique anymore.
Wow.
So pretty big. Yeah, 45 years. Done.
They must not be making much money off of it.
Well, I mean, ESPN and Showtime and all these different like online platforms give you an opportunity to watch. So yeah, they're pretty. That's what they were saying when they say it's just not that unique anymore.
Gotcha. Okay. Cool.
But that's the show. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter at @my2spenceworth.
You can follow me in real life.
You can follow me on Instagram at @HaleyClemens. HaleyIgh.
Everybody have a good weekend. Be safe. Enjoy football. Enjoy baseball. And get ready to enjoy some freaking hockey as well as the Wolfpack game. Have a good weekend, everybody.